Our guest today is Dr. Tim Huckabee from Southlake, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. Tim has been with Whitehall for a number of years and has proven to be, you know, outstandingly successful, so much so that we asked him to be on this superstar interview. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Greg, thank you very much.
All right. Well, Tim, we'd like to introduce you to the doctors and have you tell us about the practice, kind of how you got here, what you had to go through. First of all, how long you been in practice? How big's your building? Give us the story.
Okay. I've been in I graduated from Baylor Dental School in 1987, so I've been in practice about 17 years now, and I have been in the space we're in right now for about 7 years. And I was previous. You know what happens is you're previously in another space, and you never think you'll outgrow it, so you build what you think at that time is as big as you'll ever want to get.
Right.
And now we're suffering the same thing. We're in about 2,400 square feet. We have five operatories. And now we're kind of busting at the seams, and we're trying to make some decisions about what we want to do as far as enlarging the clinic and making a little bit more room to see additional patients.
What might you be doing in production on a good month now?
This year our average is about 185 a month. Our new goal is 200 a month.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing with five operatories, and we primarily use three for hygiene and two for the doctor.
Three? You only use two?
I only use two. Well, let's put it this way. We have two for hygiene and two for doctor, and then we fight over the third all day long.
But they usually win the fight, is that what you're
saying?
They
generally win the fight because they outnumber me.
Are they assisted?
Yes.
So you have two hygienists and one assistant?
Two hygienists and one assistant. This summer we brought another assistant in just... she was out for the school year, and that's worked out okay. But we definitely could do two hygienists with one assistant and be very busy here.
Tim, of the $185,000 a month average, how much of the production is hygiene?
Anywhere from 65 to about 80.
Wow.
So yeah, hygiene's a big part of what we do here.
How has that affected your profitability? Or let's just talk about profit. What's the picture look like?
We're not 50% overhead like I always hear that's ideal. Our overhead is generally ran in the low 60s, so it's perfectly acceptable to me.
Oh yeah, that's the norm in the industry, low 60s.
Yeah.
So you've managed to do it with a lot of hygiene. Quite often we find when you get this much hygiene, it's harder to show a good bottom line.
Well, what we found with our hygienists, and really one of the key things that that really helped me is finding the right hygienist. We've been commissioned probably for 10 years now. I was doing commission a long, long time ago, but I didn't really have the right person in the office. And when I really found that first key hygienist that just really looked at the pictures and looked at what we could do, it made a huge difference in the practice.
Tell me about your commission structure, how you do it.
Okay. We pay 25% of everything. That's doctor's exams, x-rays,
If it's done in her chair,
if it is done in her chair, she gets it.
Okay. And there's no hourly pay under that? That's it?
There's no hourly pay. And sometimes if I have a third hygienist that we've been using part-time, and I did offer her hourly, just because a lot of times when you start talking about commission, I can see their eyes glazing over. I want to make sure that they understand we're legitimate. And once they've been in the office for a few weeks, they all want to go to commission.
I see. So they're making close to $100,000 a year in commissions.
Some of them are making very, very close to that, yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the hygiene end of things.
That's the hygiene end, yes.
Anything peculiar about hygiene before we get into your side?
I don't know if it would be peculiar, but my hygienists really, in a lot of ways, make up for some of my deficits because they're extremely outgoing. I always, the joke around here is don't talk to me before 10 o'clock in the morning because I'm kind of slow starting in the morning. But they're very happy. They're extremely outgoing. They're very personable. And they really love to sit and chat with people. And I'm kind of different. I'm more technical. I'm probably like a lot of dentists. I like to get in, get the job done, do it right, be proud of my work, and then go on and do the next thing.
Who initiates the hygiene check, you or them?
Generally, it's me. And hygiene checks are a bit of an issue in the office because I have a lot of hygiene checks throughout the day because we see quite a bit of hygiene patients because it is assisted. Generally speaking, if I know if I have free time, the next thing I should do is stand up and go check hygiene.
Wow. So you have one hygienist or two working every day?
Two hygienists every day with an assistant.
Right. So you might they might see 25 patients, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think about 26 patients in the day is average.
So you're going to check 26 patients and produce 100,000 of restorative dentistry?
That's correct. That's exactly right.
All right. Tell me how many new patients a month we're seeing in the clinic.
Our average for new patients had been about between 40 and 60. Last month, this summer, it's really shot up. It's been over 100 a couple of months in a row. But I always say about between 40 and 60.
Wow.
And I think it's, I don't know if it's an aberration. I don't know why we've seen so many in the last couple of months, but we just have.
Okay, we're gonna talk about your marketing here in a minute. I want to hear how you do that.
Okay.
So you're seeing 40 to 60 new patients a month.
That's right.
How do you count a new patient?
A new patient would be anyone that we haven't seen before. In other words, they come in for a new examination or just an emergency patient, I would count as a new patient. We don't see a lot of just pure emergency patients.
Uh-huh.
And generally, if I was to see an emergency patient, we always try to convert that to a new patient exam. But if I have not seen that patient ever before, that is a new patient.
I see. All right. And how does a new patient come into the clinic?
It depends. I'll tell you how I want them to come in, then I'll tell you how they usually come in.
All right.
This is how I want them to come in. I want them to schedule an hour appointment with me for an FMX, study models, a complete set of photographs, TMJ analysis, and a complete consultation. That's what I want.
What will they pay for that?
Probably for an exam and FMX and study models and photographs, about $150.
Good.
Okay. I think that's right. Now, I'll tell you how they usually come in. They usually come in through hygiene.
Okay.
And because if the patient does not want to do what I want them to do, I'm not going to lose that patient. So I would say 80% of the patients come in as new patients through hygiene. That we do blood pressure, FMX, study models. We do all of that through hygiene. If they have a comprehensive case, I will not diagnose them at that appointment. We'll usually reschedule them for comprehensive diagnosis. But I'll tell you, the majority of them don't. The majority of them, of my patients, are in pretty good shape. They have regular dental care, and they need some minor restorative care, maybe. And so they're really pretty good about knowing if they need a lot of treatment. If someone says, I need a lot of treatment, then we're going to see them a little bit differently than if they call and say, I just need my teeth cleaned. I had my teeth cleaned 6 months ago. Then we're not going to make them jump through a bunch of hoops to get in. We want to get them in. We want to get them in as quickly as possible with as few barriers as possible.
A new patient calls in for hygiene.
Correct.
How soon can you get that person in without moving an existing patient?
I would hope that we could get them in the next few days. I would, right now, because it's the end of summer and we're really busy with seeing a lot of kids before back to school, I would bet it would be at least a week or so.
I see. So you're getting ready to need more hygiene, and you've just about run out of opportunities.
And we've run out of space, which it's a good problem, but it's definitely a problem.
Have you got something in the works to fix this?
We do. We actually do have something in the works right now.
You know, Tim, we tell our doctors that to produce above $150,000 a month sustainably, you're going to have a second doctor. You know, you've kind of broke the rules and the records here through hygiene.
Right, and you know what? And we do all sorts of we're doing all the sort of the software tricks for a hardware problem right now, and just trying to wiggle that number higher. But at the end of the day, you're going to have some more operatories and some more staff, and actually more treating doctors to get really significantly higher than that. I think.
But that extra 30,000 to 35,000 a month that you're, according to your words, wiggling out of it, will really help when you hit the overhead of the expanded space and second doctor.
Well, and the truth of the matter is that I've been delaying this for a while because we had reached a point a little over a year ago that I'd kind of paid for everything, and I was going, geez, do I want to do I want to sit back and enjoy this debt-free existence for a while, or do I want to jump back on the horse and do it again? So I've kind of taken a year back to say, okay, I'm going to enjoy it for a year, but I think at the end of the day, you're either in the game or you're out of the game, and I don't want to feel like I'm not, actively pursuing a growing practice, because at this stage, I know for a fact that a lot of people aren't being able to get appointments when they want appointments. Those people that want appointments at 4 in the afternoon are I know it's tough.
Can a hygienist anesthetize in your practice?
No, they cannot.
How about their assistants? Anything they are not allowed to do? Or can they clean? Can they polish?
No, Texas does not allow expanded duties among hygienists or hygiene assistants. So the hygienists actually have to do all the hygiene treatment themselves. But we require our hygienists to do a lot of things, which Texas requires that you take a blood pressure on all new patients and on all patients actually before every procedure. So we have the Criticare monitors, and we have the hygiene assistants and the assistants taking blood pressures all day long. We have them taking x-rays. We have them using the intraoral camera. There's a lot of things they can be doing other than just scaling and polishing teeth.
Tim, what percentage of that hygiene production, that 60 to 80,000 a month, is soft tissue?
I'm not positive of this. I would guess it's about 25 to 30%.
So it's not a major force in the practice.
No, but they're absolutely not afraid to diagnose it. And I know that happens a lot when we have new patients come in and there's bleeding and there's obviously periodontal disease. I'll sit down and explain it to them. We have computerized computers in the operatories, and so we'll show them Casey or try to explain, with a video presentation what's going on. But we absolutely will diagnose that. And if there's time, we might start on one or two quadrants at the first appointment. If there's not, we will reschedule them and start it later. So I know that's a lot of doctors' fears when they come in for the prophy. What do you do if they have periodontal disease? And
right.
that's exactly what we do.
Okay, tell us about your prices. Do you feel like you're at the high end, the middle for your area? Where do you fall?
In my area, I am probably a little bit higher. I have friends that practice in Dallas, and my fees are lower than the fees in Dallas, but we're a suburb of Dallas, and our fees, I think, tend to fall a little bit higher on the scale out here.
Let's look at crowns and cleanings. Where
okay,
are you?
Sure. Our crowns are, I think they're at about $9.45 for a crown.
Okay.
And for a cleaning, I think we're at $67.
And do you do build-ups most of the time?
I do build-ups almost all the time, but I don't always charge for them.
Okay.
Which my front desk always...
Yeah, they like that.
They give me a hard time about that.
All right. Let's talk about your staff a little bit.
Okay.
How they're set up. At the front desk, how many staff have you got?
Three up front.
And what do they do?
Okay. We have one person that's in charge of hygiene. She is the hygiene coordinator. She also is the initial person you'll see when you walk in the office, and she's in charge of the hygiene schedule. We have one person that's in charge of my schedule, and we have one person that is an insurance coordinator, and she's in charge of filing the insurance, following up on insurance, and they all answer the phone in a rotating fashion.
Starting with the hygiene coordinator?
Hygiene, and then the person that handles my schedule, and then the insurance person.
And who makes financial arrangements with the patients?
Generally speaking, the person that does the doctor scheduler will make the financial arrangements. However, they all can do that.
Does she do it in the chair? Do they wait till people get back up front?
We have a consultation room, and so I prefer for all financial discussions to be done in the consultation room. If it's a small, less than, and small is probably less than $250, chair side is fine. Or a lot of times for scaling and root planning, they'll do it chair side, and that's fine as well. But I really like a nice sit-down consultation where they can discuss the fees, and they can do it in a private way.
All right, Tim, you're breaking the rules here. With three staff, we would have you probably closer to five at $185,000 of production.
Right.
You have three at the front. Is that right?
That is correct.
These must be incredible people.
They're very good. I don't have any of them as an I've had office managers in the past, and that I always got really excellent results from the office manager and poor results from everyone around her. And so we have three people that are empowered to handle their own area, and
so instead
they do a
of one
job.
One queen and a hive full of drones.
Yeah, and that never did work for me.
Right, we usually see that as a problem.
Yeah.